I suppose, said Brother Watchtower, that he isn't the real heir to the throne. What do you mean? Said the Supreme Grand Master. Well, you know how it is. Fate plays funny tricks. It'd be a laugh, wouldn't it? Said Brother Watchtower, if this lad turned out to be the real king, after all this trouble.
There is no real king any more, snapped the Supreme Grand Master. What do you expect? Some people wandering in the wilderness for hundreds and hundreds of years, patiently handing down a sword and a birthmark? Some sort of magic? He spat the word. He'd make use of magic. Means to an end. End justifies means, and so forth. But to go around believing it had some sort of moral force, like logic, made him wince. Good grief, man, be logical, be rational. Even if any of the old royal family survived, the bloodline would be so watered down by now that there must be thousands of people who lay claim to the throne. Even, he tried to think of the least likely claimant, even someone like Brother Dunnikin. He stared at the assembled brethren. Don't see him here tonight, by the way.
Funny thing, that, said Brother Watchtower thoughtfully. Didn't you hear?
What?
He got bitten by a crocodile on his way home last night. Poor little bugger.
What?
Million to one chance. It had escaped from a menagerie or something and was lying low in his backyard. He went to feel under his doormat for his door key, and it had him by the funes. A species of geranium.
Brother Watchtower fumbled under his robe and produced a grubby brown envelope.
We're having a whip round to buy him some grapes and that. I don't know whether you'd like to,
Put me down for $3, said the Supreme Grand Master.
Brother Watchtower nodded. Funny thing, he said, I already have.
Just a few more nights, thought the Supreme Grand Master. By tomorrow the people would be so desperate, they'd crown even a one-legged troll if he got rid of the dragon. And we'll have a king, and he'll have an adviser, a trusted man, of course, and this stupid rabble can go back to the gutter. No more dressing up, no more ritual, no more summoning the dragon. I can give it up, he thought. I can give it up any time I like.
The streets outside the patrician's palace were thronged. There was a manic air of carnival. Vimes ran a practiced eye over the assortment before him. It was the usual Ankh-Morpork mob in times of crisis. Half of them were here to complain, a quarter of them were here to watch, the other half and the remainder were here to rob, importune, or sell hot dogs to the rest. There were a few new faces, though. There were a number of grim men with big swords slung over their shoulders and whips slung on their belts, striding through the crowds.
"News spreads quick, don't it?"
observed a familiar voice by his ear.
"Morning, Captain."
Vimes looked into the grinning, cadaverous face of cut-me-own-throat Dibbler, purveyor of absolutely anything that could be sold hurriedly from an open suitcase in a busy street, and was guaranteed to have fallen off the back of an ox-cart.
"Morning, throat," said Vimes absently. "What you selling?" "Genuine article, Captain."
Throat leaned closer. He was the sort of person who could make good morning sound like a once-in-a-lifetime, never-to-be-repeated offer. His eyes swiveled back and forth in their sockets like two rodents trying to find a way out.
"Can't afford to be without it," he hissed. "Anti-dragon cream, personal guarantee. If you're incinerated, you get your money back, no quibble."
"What you're saying," said Vimes slowly, "if I understand the wording correctly, is that if I am baked alive by the dragon, you will return the money?"
"Upon personal application," said Cut-Me-Own-Throat.
He unscrewed the lid from a jar of vivid green ointment and thrust it under Vimes's nose.
"Made from over 50 different rare spices and herbs, to a recipe known only to a bunch of ancient monks what live on some mountain somewhere. $1 a jar, and I'm cutting me own throat here. It's a public service, really," he added piously.